الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers, we are coming to the days of Dhul Hijjah, which will the peak of which will be Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant anyone who has not done Hajj the opportunity to do Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the Hajj of all those who will be making it this year and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to maintain Hajj on the face of the earth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the du'as of all those who will make du'a in Arafat, which is the best place to make du'a, and about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually points out to His angels, to His malaika, pointing out His people, pointing out the people who are making du'a to Him, because He is so pleased with them. I want to remind myself and you about the significance of this Hajj. What is Hajj? Hajj is the essence of Islam, because Islam means submission. Islam does not mean submission to things we like. It does not mean submissions to things which, within quotes, make sense. It does not mean submission to things which are reasonable. It does not mean submission to things which we understand. It just means submission. Sami'na wa ata'na. We heard and we obey. The essence of this is Hajj. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the man whose actions and the actions of whose family Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted them into the arkan, into the pillars of the greatest of ibadat of Islam, which is Hajj. And that man is Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam in many places in the Quran and told us his story. But I want to begin with a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam, and He mentioned a quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that His Rabb said to Him, submit, and He said, I submit. No argument, not even asking what is the meaning of submission. I mean, that would not be an argument. It would be a clarification. Allah is saying, submit. Allah, what does it mean? What do you want me to do actually? What is the meaning of submission? Nothing. Not even clarification. Allah said, submit. He says, I submit. How do I submit? In whichever way my Rabb wants me to submit. Whatever that way might be. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tested, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests, not because He doesn't know, because He knows, and He knows because He created. But the test is for us, it's for the slave himself to prove to himself and to his Rabb, Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for a child for many, many years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him a child when he was in his old age, when he was maybe 80 or whatever. And then this newborn child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to take him and to take his mother and to leave them in this dry valley of Makkah. So what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? He took them and he left them. He did not ask, why should I do that? After all, you just gave me a child, now you want me to go and abandon them somewhere? No. His Rabb said, take them and leave them. He left them. No questions. And then he turned around and he went back. And he made dua. And of course, this is the Fajr reminder, so I won't go into all those details. But all of them are in the Quran. And then, when this child, that is one test. So now when that happened, What did the mother of the child, what did she do? She did what any mother will do, which is she was concerned about the safety of the child. And so she went around looking for help to see if there was any help. So she climbed one mountain and then she looked around, and then she, maybe the child cried, so she ran down, came to the child, then climbed the other hill. She climbed Safa and she came running down, then she climbed Marwa, and then she came running down, then she climbed Safa, and then she repeated this. And then, of course, as we know, when this happened as many times as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam and caused Zamzam to start. It caused a spring of water to come out from the earth, and this became what we know today as Zamzam. And then we know all the story of the Jurhum and who came and what happened and so on and so on. And then, when this child was old enough to walk, still a little boy, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this feature as the distinguishing feature of the child, old enough to walk, which means that is the big thing at that point in time. Nobody says about a 20-year-old that he is old enough to walk, because he started walking long time ago, 18 years before that or 19 years before that. So old enough to walk means a little child. For him, that being old enough to walk with his father is the big thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, that he was old enough to walk. And when that happened, what happened? What did Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put another test on Ibrahim alayhi salam. One more, a test of submission. First test of submission, take them and leave them. No questions. Second test of submission, sacrifice this child. Slaughter this child in the name of Allah. Ajeeb, may Allah protect us from tests. Subhanallah. Only the Anbiya have these strengths. And of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also supports, because nobody has the strength, not even the Anbiya. Nobody has the strength to withstand the test of Allah without the help of Allah. It's only because of the help of Allah that a person is able to withstand the test which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. So we ask Allah for protection from tests, and we ask Allah for His help. So slaughter the son in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Once more, what is the action now? Not only of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but also of the son, Ismail alayhi salam. The action is, we submit. We submit. And the little boy says that you will find me, insha'Allah, minas sabirin, among those who have sabr. Insha'Allah, you will find me among those who have sabr. So the father, the mother, and the son, all three were tested in different ways. And when they passed this test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first announced and said, you have passed this test. You have proven to be truthful, Ya Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah is speaking directly. You have proven to be successful. He's getting a certificate directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happened, then what did Allah do? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to construct His house, to raise the Kaaba. And when this Kaaba was completed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, call them, give the adhan for Hajj. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, there is nobody here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your job is to call, you call. My job is to send, I will send. And they will come through deep valleys on lean camels. And today they come through the air in jets. And they come on ships, and they come in lorries and trucks. And they still come on camels. And then, now that the house is established, how does one worship in this house? What are the arkan? What are the rules of Hajj? What makes Hajj? And see the izzah for the one who obeys. See the izzah for the one who submits. How do you perform Hajj? How do you make Hajj? You do it in the actions of Ibrahim, in the actions of Hajar, in the actions of Ismail alayhi salam. You do it in those actions. Ibrahim alayhi salam raised the Kaaba, and then when he finished, he prayed 2 rakat of salah. That is, you make this 2 rakat after tawaf, You make the tawaf of Kaaba and then you make Tawaf of Salah. Hajra alayhi salam, she ran from one hill to another hill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the rukun of Hajj. If you do not do this, there is no Hajj. If you do not do Sa'i, there is no Umrah. And Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salam, the symbol of Ismail alayhi salam is the Zabiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what you will do. When the Hajj is completed, sacrifice. The actions of those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them into acts of worship, not only for everyone, but for everyone from Ibrahim alayhi salam. The time the Kaaba was established till the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it on the face of the earth. This is the way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hajj and in Umrah. Not only did Allah make people do it, He made His Anbiya do it. Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj in exactly the same way. He made Umrah in the same way. What more izzah can there be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His Nabi, the Imamul Anbiya, He makes him do the same actions which Ibrahim alayhi salam did, which Hajar alayhi salam did, and which Ismail alayhi salam did. What is a bigger honor than that? Hajj is a symbol of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Hajj is a symbol of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Hajj is a symbol of Islam, of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without question. Without question. Because if you look at the different things that we do in Hajj, the arkan of Hajj, you can actually legitimately raise a question about every one of them. And you can say, why must I do this? Why must you wear a haram? For what? Two pieces of cloth should not be stitched. One round the waist, one round the upper body. It's neither comfortable nor graceful. If it is cold, you feel cold. But this is a haram. When we pray normally, the afzal, the better thing to do is to cover the head. Because Rasulullah ﷺ covered his head. But in Hajj, you do not cover the head. And if you cover the head, it spoils your Hajj. You do not cover the head. When you normally enter the masjid, for the men, it is preferred that you wear nice clothes, you put on some perfume and so on. But in Hajj, you can't. Once you put on the ihram, you cannot put on perfume. You can't wear perfume. Hajj is in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make Hajj of the Kaaba, but which is the place, which is the rukun of Hajj, without which there is no Hajj. Arafat. And Arafah is not inside the haram. Arafah is outside the haram. So every one of these things can be questioned. Safa Marwa, you can say, well, Hajar alayhi salam had a reason to do that. Why must I go and run from one place to another? For what? If somebody says, the Ayyamul Hajj, I am going to stay inside the haram and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours, I will not go to Arafah. His Hajj is not there. There is no Hajj. If someone says a tracksuit is more comfortable, why should I wear ihram? There's no Hajj. If someone says, I consider my tracksuit to be ihram. No. For the ladies, for women, it's permitted, not for men. Obedience without question. Complete and total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for no reason other than that He said so. No other reason. Why am I doing this? Because Allah told me to do it. Bas, khalas. Nothing else is required. And this is the symbol of Islam. This is the ibadah about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if somebody has the means to do Hajj but does not do it and dies without having done Hajj, even though he could have done it or she could have done it, then that person will be resurrected with the Yahud and Nasara. It is such an important ibadah, and there is such a strong wa'id with regard to not doing Hajj even though you have the capacity to do it. What is this capacity? The capacity for the men is to have enough money and enough strength to go and make Hajj, meaning that you should not be poor, you should have enough money to go, and also you should not be sick. So strength does not mean you have to be a bodybuilder or something. Strength means as long as you are physically capable of going, then Hajj is fard. Hajj becomes fard the day you had this much. It's not today or tomorrow. Whenever you had enough money and you had the strength, Hajj becomes fard. That's why Hajj is the ibadah of young people. As soon as you are ready, you must go and make Hajj. That's also good for you because it's a very strenuous activity. So therefore, there's no sense in delaying it until you can hardly move and then you are a burden to everybody else. No, go when you are young. As soon as you have enough for the men, as soon as you have enough money, and as long as you have strength, alhamdulillah. For the women, there is a third condition, which is money, strength, and they should have a mahram. They should have somebody, one of their guardians, to go with them. And this is a special rukhsa, this is a special ease that is given to the women. If a woman has the money and she has the strength, but she does not have a mahram, then Hajj is not fard on her. If she has the intention of making Hajj, but she could not go because she did not have her father, her husband, her brother or her son to take her, then inshallah al-musta'an, if she dies in that condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her the reward of Hajj, even though she did not make Hajj because she had the intention of going, but she did not have any mahram to take her. Right? So all the mahram relatives, including your mamus and chachas and so on, so all of these would be people that you can go with. Now today there is a tendency where we, again, you see, this is the whole issue of understanding what is submission. Submission means to take your will out of the equation. Even though your will might be of good intention, we are not saying that your will is necessarily evil, no. Even with good intention. For example, people say, one day one of my old servants, I told him I want to give you, in those days it was 1 lakh or some such thing, some whatever amount of money, I told him I want to give this money for you to go make Hajj. So he said to me, if you want to give me the money, give me the money. I have got some loans, I will pay off the loans. I am not rich enough to make Hajj. Even though I would like to go, Hajj is not fard on me. So don't give me the money and don't send me to Hajj, because this loan is more important for me to settle. And I thought that, alhamdulillah, he knows more deen than I do. And his point was valid. So I agreed with him and I did that. So we have this desire, I want to send people for Hajj. For what? Why do you want to send people for Hajj? If somebody needs to be sent, that means Hajj is not fard on that person in the first place. So why do you want to send him for Hajj? Instead of that, you want to spend the money in something good, which is help the man out of debt, give the money to him because he's a poor man, that money he needs for his family and so on and so forth. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this niyat, Ya Allah, I'm giving this, please give me the reward for Hajj, inshallah. I'm not making a fatwa, but it is my guman and my belief about my Rabb, that my Rabb will give you, inshallah, the reward for Hajj, even though the person did not go for Hajj. But the money is spent more sensibly rather than sending people for Hajj. I want to send, why? Because it is my will. The whole point of Hajj is, it is not your will, it is the will of Allah. Similarly, our sisters have this desire, I want to go for Hajj. I have no mahram, but I still want to go. So now you want to begin Hajj with disobedience? What sense does it make? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a rukhsa. Allah gave you a freedom. So find a mahram. If you have no mahram, say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made Hajj fard on me. I have the money, I'm going to keep the money aside. If and when a mahram turns up, I will make Hajj. Until then, the money is there. If I die, Ya Allah, I ask you to give me the reward for Hajj. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her the reward for Hajj. Instead of that, now we go fatwa shopping, then we get a fatwa. Somebody says, as long as there is a, women are going in a group. So, the moment you said group, now you have to define what is a group. Is three a group?
Is 30 a group? Is 300 a group? Is 300,000 a group? What is a group? So somebody now has puts a number on it. Oh, as long as there are 30 people going. Where did you get the 30 from? How about 29? So the point is that the moment you enter into that area, now you are going, is this valid? It's not valid. Wallahala. We do not know. I am not passing my judgment on somebody else's fatwa. May Allah, each one will stay with his own opinions. But the fact of the matter is that if you are a lady, if you are a woman and you have no mahram, Hajj is not fard on you. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Keep the money aside. If and when the mahram turns up, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go, He will make the arrangements, go. If that does not happen, if you die, inshallah, you will get the reward for Hajj. But if you want to begin the issue of Hajj itself with disobedience of Allah, by saying, well, I am going, you know, women are going together, or some people, well, Ajib. One person tells me, our travel agent said, he is the mahram for all of us. I said, mashallah, I mean, he can be the mahram for four of you by marrying all four. And after that, what about the others? Eh? So there are the travel agent is interested in his business. Eh? So he wants to say, well, he is the mahram for it. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Where is this? Some sense was. So my point is that Hajj is all about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. Don't begin that with disobedience. Makes absolutely zero sense. So when you have the money and the strength as a man, go for Hajj. Don't argue. If you are a woman, you have the money and the strength, but you have no mahram, sit peacefully at home, make dua. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward. Don't argue. Because Hajj is the essence of obedience. Hajj is the essence of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their dua and to accept our dua in their favor and their dua in our favor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the maximum and take the maximum benefit out of these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, about which we have spoken before, and inshallah we will talk more. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the best of these days and to benefit from these days. And to we ask Allah to accept our duas in these days. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.